You're listening to a sermon from New City Fellowship in Manassas, Virginia. New City Fellowship is a diverse community that proclaims the gospel and makes disciples for the glory of God and the renewal of our city. For more information, visit newcityfellowship.net.
Good morning, everybody. So there's been a lot of stuff going on in our community. It doesn't take, I think most of us are aware of all the different challenges that are going on. And with Chewy's absence this Sunday, he's on vacation with his family in upstate New York. We wanted to take a time to stop and pray. Everyone will tell you that's not a thing we do naturally in our culture. It's a thing we struggle with. You know, all that's very true. We want to actually do it. We want to practice it. We don't want to just talk about it. So this morning is a different than normal service. So apologies in advance. It's going to be a little awkward. We're gonna pray in small groups. If you don't feel comfortable praying in a small group, that's fine. This is totally a good time to pray individually as well. But we want to take the time as a church to pray for specific needs in our church and in our community. Will preached, I think it was a couple years ago, on Nehemiah now. And one of the things that has really stuck with me throughout that time is how Nehemiah responded when he learned of the challenges that his brothers and sisters were facing in Judah. And so Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 4 says, "When I heard these things," Nehemiah, "I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." We have a lot of hardship in our community. And I'm not just talking about the logistical difficulties of finding a new pastor. Honestly, that's not even the biggest issue. We have a lot of other challenges that we're facing right now. So let's stop. Let's mourn the challenge, but let's also turn to a good and loving God, knowing that he will provide for us. So the way the service is going to be set up this morning, we're going to have four different sections. I think Natalia is going to start us. She's going to read a section of scripture. Then she's going to provide a brief encouragement. And then from there, we're going to gather in groups of three or four with the people around you. Hopefully it fills back up once parents come back from dropping off kids. At probably 7 or 8 minutes after we've been praying, we'll transition to a time of singing in response. And then we'll go into another scripture reading, another time of prayer, another song. So that'll be sort of the cycle this morning. And so with that, I'll give the mic to Natalia.
Our first reading comes from Luke 11, 1 through 13. "Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples.' And he said to them, 'When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation.' And he said to them, 'Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing set before him. And he will answer from within, Do not bother me, the door is now shut and I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks it will be open. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish, give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" And our word of encouragement. So there is so much rich theology within the sentence, "Give us this day our daily bread." For example, let us briefly meditate on the "give us" part. Often, I think we can easily mistake the "us" as referring to just ourselves and our individual families and miss it means our global church and community. In reality, the perspective we should have is if one member of the church is in need of bread, then we're all in need of bread. Remember then that the Father invites each of us to participate with him as he gives out our daily portion. We aren't just asking God for our individual needs to be met. We are also asking him to make us aware of our neighbor's needs. With this awareness comes the opportunity to practice being like Jesus in our generosity. Now let us come together and pray.
For our next scripture and then prayer time, we'll be reading from Psalm 121. And this is, if you take this psalm in terms of physical or emotional protection, to me, it causes significant turmoil between rectifying what God has said to us and what we experience in our life. So let me read this, and I'll talk a little bit about what I mean by that, and then I'll read it again. Psalm 121 says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. When I read this, I thought of Job. Job 2, 4 through 8 says, Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin, all that a man has he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand and touch his bones and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, Behold, he is in your hand. Only spare his life. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with loathsome sores from the soles of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took a piece, he being Job, a piece of broken pottery with which to scrape himself while he sat in the ashes. The Lord allowed Job's foot to be moved. Satan struck Job so that his skin wasted away. Everything he had except his life wasted away. How do we reconcile this with Psalm 121? The sun will not strike you by day or by night. Yet God allowed Satan to strike one of the few righteous men of the Bible. As you may already understand, Psalm 121 is truly referring to our spiritual life. It is our soul's life that is saved, redeemed, protected, and held so strongly by God. But there is still a lingering question of why God allows these physical or emotional pains. 2 Corinthians 1, 3-7 says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. What is our comfort? It is that God is with us, that he understands us, that he will take care of us, and will bring us home safely to heaven to be with him. Jesus says this in Matthew 6:25 through 26. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? So in light of knowing that your heavenly Father loves you, cares for you, values you, hear this encouragement of his protection over your soul. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. I believe there are things to pray for those of us who are struggling with physical, emotional, mental, whatever it is. Let's take some time to pray for them.
You can be seated. So I was going to read from Matthew 6:25-34, but Tim stole my thunder a little bit. And he did it much better, so you're all far better off. So I'm going to steal a little bit of Angel's thunder, and I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 1:8-11. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction that we experienced in Asia, for we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessings granted us through the prayers of many. Friends, there is so much brokenness and challenge in this world. And as Tim was reading the earlier part of this passage earlier, I forget the name of the theologian, but it sort of describes it as a cascade of comfort. The earlier verses 1-7, comfort I think is listed 7 or 11 times. I just don't remember off the top of my head. There's a lot of comfort in those 7 verses. I think we should remember being comforted is not the same as being comfortable. I think our life experience attests to that nicely. But we do have a God who comforts us. And let me find the verse here. In verse 9, indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He brings us low so that we know that there's only one person who we can look to raise us up, and that is Jesus Christ and his death on the cross and what that has done for us. So I think now Joe is going to come up and lead us in communion. Sorry, Joe, I'm going to pray first, and then we'll do communion. Sorry, I'm a little nervous. With that, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the men and women in this building this morning, for our children in the kids' wing, for the blessing that these people are to all of us. Thank you for giving them to us at a season and time such as this. Thank you for this church, this small reflection of who you are here in Manassas, for the encouragement it's been to me and our family personally, and for the way that it's impacted, even in its own small way, the community around us. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to just be a part of this, to be a part of your work here. Lord, with all of the things that make our hearts heavy, thank you for your comfort. Thank you for comforting us during this season of difficulty and for a challenge. And Lord, I pray that this would not be a wasted or missed opportunity. Help us to see you in this season. Help us to rely on you. Help us to learn from you, to trust in you. Lord, for nothing is too great for you. In your name, amen.